Watch who?
Hello.
Hello, and welcome to To Watch Who, a Doctor Who podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Sarah.
And I'm a Doctor Who fan.
And I'm new to watching Who.
Watching for the very first time.
Very first time.
Order in the court. Inquisitor Sarah, are you ready to investigate season 23 of Doctor Who?
Yeah, sure.
This season, I'm going to try not to talk about jury service every time because it's bringing it all back. Love a trial. Love a jury. But welcome back, everyone. It's a new season of Doctor Who and To Watch Who.
I mean, should we just get into it? Because I've got quite a bit to talk about, I think.
Okay, yeah. Well, we finished with Revelation of the Daleks last season, and there was this 18-month hiatus of Doctor Who. There was a charity single. They were going to go to Blackpool when they didn't go to Blackpool. All that has happened. We've jumped forward in time, and now we are back in, I think, late 85, early 86.
Feels so different.
Really?
There's many things that feel different about it. One, the credits. The opening sequence is very different.
Well, it's different music.
That sets that tone. It reminds me a lot that, I don't know, maybe it's just the style and the feel. It doesn't even feel like Doctor Who. It feels like a completely different show. It reminds me a lot of Red Dwarf. I think it's because the opening shot is like in space and it's a ship, which is a very Red Dwarf thing to do. And you'd have, you know, whatever in space. The writing feels a bit lighter as well. I cannot put my finger on it. It feels like a completely different show, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, they've had time to work things out over the 18 months. That opening shot is probably the most expensive shot of the whole season. Like, it was a very, very expensive model shot. The best model shot I think we've ever had because the way that they filmed it, it like tracked and the camera moved with the movement of the ship. It was all done in one thing and it took hours and hours. And it was like new sort of technology, I think.
A lot of like the effects feel different. Perry sounds different and looks different. Do you not think she sounds different?
Well, I was gonna do a bit of a, well, not clothes watch. I was gonna do hair watch because both the Doctor and Perry's hair has like doubled in this time. Actually, I think Colin Baker's put on a bit of weight as well. He looks completely different, actually.
Yeah, but also because I think we're getting better cameras as well now. Everything's just it's like a different show.
Well, all the location stuff here, when they're in the forest and stuff, that's video now where it was film. And you know, before when you could see the difference, I think this is the first time when they're on video. So you don't get that change between studio and outside.
I would say this feels like the biggest jump since moving to colour.
Oh my God, big statement. I don't know. Well, I think that's from your view of not seeing this before. I think if you talk to like fans and stuff, it's just another season. Because you know, when the fourth Doctor, he was coming to the end and we had that new title sequence and stuff before. That's when I was expecting that massive change to hit. And you didn't really notice it that much. But I don't think fans would notice
so
that.
Different. I mean, that first, let's go to the first like 2-3 minutes, right?
Oh my God, we've jumped straight in. We are right off, aren't we?
But like the opening credits, the music at the start is completely different. It has a different feel to it. You have that opening shot with the ship and stuff. Like it feels, and then like even on location, all that, it even took me a while. And you're right, the hair makes a massive difference. Like Perry's hair is huge. And she doesn't sound, I don't know if it's like an intentional phasing out.
Well, she's had 18 months where she doesn't have to talk American, so she's
exactly.
Probably not used to it. But her outfit, actually, clothes watch, she's in sensible clothes.
Oh, she's so 80s, though. She's so 80s. She's got, like, shoulder pads galore, big hair. She looks like she'd be on Dynasty.
Yeah, she is very that, isn't it? She looks much older.
She does. She looks like she's aged, like, decades. It just feels so different. The colours feel different. Do you not feel like when I don't know whether they've changed his outfit, but it always felt really like bright, and it almost feels like duller. It feels more natural. I didn't feel as like garish by his outfit. Maybe I'm just getting used to it.
Yeah, maybe you're just used to all of that.
We say that I haven't watched anything for like what, 4 weeks now.
We've had a little break, haven't we? Yeah, it's been a while. But yeah, that's all the big changes. I wasn't sure if you were going to notice the music and stuff or not. Sometimes you don't.
No, but I definitely did. It's so different. You can't not.
Well, I suppose they wanted that bit of a Doctor Who's been away. Everyone's been campaigning for all this time. This is what you're getting. And it's a 14-part story, Trial of a Time Lord. How did you think it was going to go in terms of the trial thing? Were you expecting like literally a trial like that?
Yeah, I guess I was. I find it a bit annoying.
It's a bit of a weird, because you've got that storyline there in the trial thing and they keep coming back to it, and then they all sit down and watch Doctor Who together and cut out of it again. They're literally doing...
I think if the story started with it and then just happened and then maybe ended, if that was it, if it was just sort of... It almost felt like, in fact, when it started, I thought it was going to be a clip show.
Well, it's almost like that, isn't it? Yeah.
It's almost like a clip show. I thought like they were going to go back and show like previous things he's done, and it was going to intro like that.
But we get a lot of this back and forth.
And even they must find it so, because bear in mind, they wouldn't have like, they'll have filmed it all in one sort of section, right? And they must find it so like, jarring that, you know, and they're like, do we have to see this? Do we have to see this? There was one line Harry said something. Oh no, it was in the first episode. The doctor said, we're in mortal danger. If this is right, they'll be in terrible danger or something like that. And I literally went, oh, we always are. And Perry literally said it in the next breath. I couldn't stop laughing.
Okay, well, if we talk about the trial bit first, then we'll talk about the rest of the story. So, I mean, I don't want to give spoilers, but get used to 14 episodes worth of this.
Yeah, I know. I felt it as well. I did. Whenever it started again, I was like, oh God, we've got all this jumble to get through.
Well, so you've got basically those three characters. You've got the Doctor, and then you've got the Inquisitor, who is overseeing everything, played by Linda Bellingham. Great outfit there. Yeah. You've got all of the jury in the background, those Time Lords who look completely bored, who have to sit there the whole time and not do anything.
Yeah.
And you've got the Valeyard. What do you think of the Valeyard?
I mean, fine. It's just a very annoying character, isn't it? At the start, she says, isn't she like, yeah, oh, you know, they talk about, well, we've done a trial before. And they're like, yeah, he has had this. And I'm like, ah, oh, but and I was thinking, we've literally done this idea before. You even acknowledge that we've done this idea before.
So I was going to keep a note of like the things that the doctor's been accused of, and then we could sort of work out if he's guilty or not. At the moment, it's interference, which he's always done, which he was. The Time Lords were sort of after him. It was the second doctor, wasn't it, when, you know, he went on trial and got exiled. But I think that was just because he had run away and he'd stolen the TARDIS and run away, wasn't it? And
he's
finally
also
located
been the president in this time.
Yeah. Doesn't really hold up already, does it?
No.
So the Valeyard, I've sent you a picture of the Valeyard. Hold on. Well, look at this picture. When I met him, he's brilliant. He did a lot of conventions. I met him quite a few times. Michael Jason, he's brilliant. He died a couple of weeks ago, actually, which was sad. But when I met him at a convention, he was having, you know, the photo shoots and everything. And he was asking everybody, he was like, do you want me to smile or do you want me to be the Valeyard? Do you want to like, and he looked at me and was like, what do you want me to say? I was like, oh, I think you should be bad. So then I got the Valeyard is my sugar daddy photograph.
What that is. Oh my God.
So I'll post that up. We should call him sugar daddy from now on, because that's who he is. He's giving me that look and sort of holding me.
You're holding him. Yeah. It literally is sugar daddy. Yeah.
I mean, what a part to play as well. I mean, you're in that outfit as well. Probably not the best kind of outfit. But you've got to do all the dialogue. I don't know, did that stand out to you? The words were quite wordy, if you know what I mean. They're very, like, everybody
it's quite
has
a wordy script, full stop, I think. I mean, we'll get to them, but Dumb and Dumber, as I called them. Very wordy.
Whereas yours is a simple case of sociopathy, Dibber, my malaise is much more complex. A deep-rooted maladjustment, my psychiatrist said, brought on by an infantile inability to come to terms with the more pertinent, concrete aspects of life.
I felt there was a lot of standing with these long words, rather than just getting on with it, they were just sort of standing around and just sort of chatting. And yeah, I noticed that more this time around. Okay, so moving on from the trial stuff, the actual story we get. So the 14 parts, it's divided up 4, 4, 4, and 2. And they're not on screen, but they've got individual titles. So this one is the
mine
mysterious.
Mine do have titles. So the four that I had were one title. I wish I could remember what it was. Hang on, I'll just look on my BritBox.
I could tell you.
Yeah.
The Mysterious Planet.
Yes, that was it. So these four were all the Mysterious Part 1, 2, 3, 4.
So what did you think of the actual story?
I mean, it was all right. There were some things that were great, but it wasn't the story.
Okay, tell me the good things first then.
Okay. Just going to stop one sec. Mabel's here purring really loud, so I apologise if the mic's picking
up. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, you got the cat on you.
I apologise if that is in the background. Right. Things I liked. I thought the costumes generally on the whole were really good.
Okay.
I thought costume-wise and design-wise. I thought actually all the set pieces were really good and clear. You could tell who people were with, because there's quite a few different tribes, I guess, in this. So it's sometimes a bit hard to keep track, but you could work out who was with what very clearly. I thought the actors were all strong. I don't think anyone was particularly weak. If there was a weakness, it was within the dialogue rather than their acting. That's my strong points.
Okay, right. So, so it looked good and it was cast well. Okay. What about the story? I think it's quite a good story where it's this planet that you don't know is Earth, and they find the Marble Arch thing.
The opening thing, and it's quite clear, and there's all the little spoilers, I guess, that it's Earth and stuff.
Well, I suppose there is a billion to one chance there was a place called Marble Arch on Ravelox.
And they wrote in English?
Well, that's another billion to one chance. It does begin to seem a little unlikely, doesn't it?
Well, Doctor, we're on Earth, aren't we?
For me, what was really hard was the fact it kept jumping back.
Well, just because you get into it, then they
and then
and
you've got to go back for some completely unnecessary dialogue, which is do we have to watch this? Well, I'm certain the thing. However, all right, yeah, and then we go back, and you're that's 3 minutes of my life I'm not getting back.
But I suppose the only part of that where it's useful to have that trial bit and the cool bit that I like in this is where it's sort of bleeped out. There's something going on where the Valyard has bleeped out the dialogue. So Glitz is talking about something which sort of a bit of an arky sort of thing. I liked that where you're hang on, why can't the audience see that? But it was very minor. There was only happened twice. But I did like that. And I suppose if they're going
to
do that,
they could
have done more.
For me, that all came down more to set and style. Again, it must have been in the first episode. There's a shot where we don't know who it is yet. It's a voice, but we've got the camera and he says give him water or something. And then he talks into the camera. All those shots look really good. Really, really good. It's shot really well, I think.
Well, it works from outside in with the forest and everything. And then they go into the tunnel and it's it's supposed to be an old escalator, those stairs, because it's an old tube station and stuff. I like that mystery at first when you see Marble Arch. And obviously Perry's a bit upset about it. The Doctor and Perry relationship is so much better now.
They're in good form, yeah.
They're sort of joking with each other. It is more the banter stuff. He's not having a go at her or anything. He's really gentle with her. Even when she's sort of upset that it's her planet has gone and stuff.
Yeah, and even he says something I'm not here with these, I'm here with her. There's a good rapport between them. There's a genuine rapport.
Mm.
And they make reference to the fact that they're back.
I like the humour in it, though. So let's talk about some of the characters then. I like Balazar, who is the guy in the yellow onesie, and he's got the books, and they find the books, the only three books they've got is like the Habitat
Moby,
of the
Goon.
Moby Dick.
Yeah, yeah, but how does he say it? He says it like
Moby Dick.
Moby Dick, that's it.
And we watched Moby Dick, do you remember?
God, yeah.
When we did our other podcast.
Yeah.
We watched a TV movie of it. It was quite long, about the whale.
Very long.
Thing. I'll, you know what, I'll dig out that episode and give it to our coffee members if you want to hear us talk about Moby Dick.
I can't remember what I said.
I have no memory of recording it. I remember watching it.
And I do remember recording it. I don't remember any of my feelings on it.
No.
I have no idea.
I don't know if we liked it or not. It was a very long,
no,
like,
yeah.
It was quite a recent TV movie adaptation,
was,
like an American one.
Because I think we're doing quite a few old ones. And the only sort of memory I have is a relief that it was a bit more modern. And thank God we're watching something. I don't think it was bad. I just can't remember what we said about it.
No, it just went on for a long time. It was just that guy trying to get that whale, and they were sending people out in the boat, weren't they? And he was trying to like get the whale. And yeah, I have to watch that again at some point. But anyway, and the water babies and UK Habitat of the Canadian Goose, which I think is really funny. And then later on, he's like, what do you call this place? UK Habitat. And he's like, oh, yes, they used to use these things to capture the Canadian Goose. You know, stuff like, oh, I love that. I think Balazar is a fun character.
I when I heard UK Habitat, I thought of the shop.
Oh, Habitat the shop. Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I thought of.
Habitat.
I'm going, Habitat.
Yeah, I like him, and he sort of represents those people down there. Oh, there's the other guy. I didn't write his name down. He was the guy in black with the helmet. And he has been
quite
in
dramatic.
He's been in Doctor Who before. And you will see his amazing acting skills when I tell you who he was.
Right.
He was in the one in Paris.
The one, yeah.
The detective guy that was like punching everyone.
Right, yes. Oh my God, that is a throwback, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the same actor.
Wow,
playing
okay.
Someone completely different. Oh, we've got... Actually, do you know what? The weak part, if I was going to say the weak part of the cast, it was those twins with the robot. They were really annoying. More twins again.
Yeah, but actually, because they were annoying and they were meant to be annoying, I can accept it.
I didn't really get why they were there.
So they give two people over who are supposed to be sacrificed, the smartest people, and then obviously they're living and they're working, aren't they? But they believe them being eaten.
Okay, but they were there just to sort of help.
Well, I don't think they get eaten. They said something, didn't they? Like, oh, you're here. Oh, so you're not eaten then? And they're like, no. So they obviously like go and they...
I feel like they didn't do anything apart from just be annoying. They were they're the worst part of the story.
I enjoyed him getting annoyed at them.
No, I didn't like any of that. And then you've got all the tribe people. So you've got Katrika, who is queen who is Joan Sims from the Carry On films. I don't know.
Oh,
you know,
right, yeah, yeah.
With a big wig on.
Yeah. Very Queen Elizabeth wig.
Oh, maybe that's what they were going for. Yeah. But it's your standard tribe people, though, isn't it? You know,
with some guns. They get guns, don't they, at some point? So
I don't know. I need to look up where they filmed it. It's not where I thought it was, but it's like, you know, you get those villages that are like recreations of like Anglo-Saxon places or whatever.
Yeah.
It looks exactly like one I went to on a school trip called West Stowe Anglo-Saxon Village. I'm going to put that down as the best school trip ever. And all it was huts. It was literally a village like that.
Oh my
and
gosh.
You just sort of walked around. That I just really loved West Stowe so much. I think I went with my family like a few months later. I went back. I was like, I want to go to West Stowe.
Oh my
it
gosh.
Was absolutely brilliant. And it was just huts and the fire, and this is how Anglo-Saxons lived and stuff. So there must be a few of them around, because I don't think they filmed at that one, but it looked exactly like it. If you ever see, I mean, there must be them around still. If you ever see an Anglo-Saxon village, I recommend it.
On a day out? Where do you recommend, Mark?
I just love that, because it was like, you know, you go around and you have your clipboard and you have to be like, how have they made this house? How do they keep warm? What do you do? What tools do they use and stuff like that? And you tick the boxes and stuff. But I remember, like, you know, when you go to those places and there's usually like a cafe and a shop and stuff. I don't think there was it. I think it literally was huts in the middle of nowhere because we all had to sit on the coach and have our lunch. There was nowhere else to go apart from this Anglo-Saxon house. That was it.
I don't remember doing anything like that. I remember going to our local castle museum and we made bottles. I don't remember. That's the most like historic. Maybe I must have been in primary school. There's one place in our area where you go and it's a Victorian classroom.
Oh, I love a Victorian classroom.
So you go in and the teachers are like, you have to sit there and do everything and you're on chalk. And if you haven't got your chalk, you have to do it in the air. And the teachers are dressed up and you have to dress up and stuff.
I love that. I love all of that.
One of them in the north. That's it. That's all I kind of remember.
Also, what sticks out, maybe this is why it's my favourite ever school trip. It's the first memory I have of seeing Pringles. I didn't know what Pringles were, and my friend's mum had them on the coach, and I was like, "Oh my god, there's these crisps in like a thing." I was like, "Oh my god," they were like, "That is my first ever." I was quite young; I'd never seen Pringles before. So, just to finish my tourist board thing, so yeah. West Stowe, the one I went to, is in West Sussex, and it's still there. One of England's great archaeological sites. West Stowe has extensive indoor galleries and a stunning recreation of an Anglo-Saxon village surrounded by 125 acres of unspoilt countryside. So there you go. It looks exactly the same as I remember it. I don't remember the indoor galleries. That must be new. But it's got a craft building, a farmer's house, a weaving house.
A weaving house.
They filmed the one in this one. This was in Hampshire, apparently, at Buster Ancient Farm Project, now known as Little Buster in Hampshire. Yeah, so different ones, but whenever I watch this,
same wonderful experience.
It takes me back to West Stowe whenever I see
and Pringles.
It. Yeah, but the tribes people are cool, and it's just I like that. You've got the technology, and you've got like the older people, and then you've got that mix of like that. The mast thing that they think is a totem and everything like that. So, yeah, it works quite well.
There's a lot of, like, different elements to it.
Yeah. I don't think I ever understood this one 100% when I was younger.
I don't think I did. I think I'd need to watch it again.
There's a lot going on. And because you're stopping and starting as well with all the trial stuff, you're like, hang on a second. And there are a lot of characters.
The trial stuff makes it hard to follow.
Did you enjoy 25 minutes, though?
Yes, I did.
We're back to normal format.
We're back to normal.
Because it was a bit of a, it's the BBC being typical BBC again, I suppose, where they were like, oh, we've rested it. It's coming back bigger and better than ever. Instead of like, how many episodes did they used to have? Like 8 episodes of the 45 minutes. It's coming back. It's going to be 14. It's going to be double. But they didn't tell anyone that they're shorter episodes. So actually... Yeah. It actually works out a shorter time than the season before, the 45 minutes, but they've just been like, it's going to be on longer, but it's not. Okay, other characters, Glitz and Dibber.
Yeah, Dumb and Dumber, yeah.
Do you like them?
They're very wordy, aren't they?
But they sort of helped link everything together.
Yeah, and again, this is one of the things that, like, I guess maybe if I watched it again, I might get, I couldn't work out what they were trying to get or do. I know that they're bad. I know that they're trying to do something that they shouldn't, all that sort of stuff. But, like, couldn't work out exactly what their goal was. Like, were they just trying to get the library? Were they trying to get something else? Were they just trying to get whatever they could?
Well, they were there because loads of people had come down because of that mast thing had, like, attracted attention because it was, like, a special piece of equipment or whatever. They knew that the robot and all that was underneath the ground and everything. Yeah. They were on a mission to get these secret things that got, for whatever reason we don't know, and that has been edited out of the evidence. So they were after those things. But I think they're sort of like, you know, con people for hire.
I think they're supposed to be cowboys, aren't they?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Yeah, and I kind of got all that, but I couldn't understand the more, like, the nuance element of why. It's not like we're after this. I feel like they were just after whatever they could get and lying along the way.
But they knew what was going on because Glitz knew it was Earth. He was like, yeah, this is Earth, everyone, you know. And it wasn't such a mystery But this, it sort of is a bit of a mystery because it's never 100% explained at the moment.
No.
About what has been going on. But so the Earth had this fireball. People went underground and the robot was under there with these people that had these secrets or whatever. The rescue mission didn't come. I don't know how the Anglo-Saxon people were on there after the big disaster, but they repopulated. And then what's his name? The guy from underneath, the guy in the black helmet, was getting people out secretly, but the robot was malfunctioning and didn't really care. It knew that there was life on Earth, but it was been programmed to secure life underneath the ground. So it was wanting to keep everyone underground, but it had these secret things. So it's not 100% explained about the secrets. And all we know is that Glitz and Dibble are after these things, or they've been sent to get these things. They never got them. It is a bit complicated, actually.
I didn't look ahead. I just remembered that they were in the first four were there, and then the second had another title. So I was like, oh, they're obviously split up. But I wondered, without spoiling anything, is this a story that's like, this will all get explained as the season goes on? Or is it just like, that's that chunk. Now we're going to do another story to prove whether the Doctor should be on trial or not.
There's sort of arc-y elements. So all the trial stuff does sort of continue, but they do. I mean, it's not really a spoiler to say, like, you've got the different parts of the evidence. So you've got like the Valiar being like, this is my evidence for this. And then the Doctor will be like, well, this is my evidence for this. And that'll be another story. It's sort of like that. But no, it is a 14 part story technically. So it should, let's see, it should make sense eventually. So by this point, I don't think you're supposed to have all the answers. As yet. I mean, the cliffhangers were really shit, actually. The cliffhangers were so bad. Like,
but also, because the cliffhangers were just the jury things, really, weren't they?
Well, two. Basically, the first one is like, oh, yeah, the Valiar's like, actually, this isn't an inquiry. This is a trial for your life, which I think you need more paperwork. You can't just say that halfway through your case. You can't be like, oh, by the way,
we're changing your sentence.
Yeah, completely changing the whole thing here. We are actually here for something else. I think we had two of those, basically. Well, no, it finished. The fourth one finished with, by the time I've finished with you, we're going to be up for your life.
Finished. I barely started.
Well, for nothing more than your future in the legal profession. I only hope your evidence gets a little better.
Oh, yes, Doctor, much better. The most damning is still to come. And when I have finished, this court will demand your life.
Which is the second time he said it already, you know.
I know. That's what I mean. The trial stuff just feels quite...
Yeah. But we do have another mystery as well. Where is Perry in the present? Because it's the Doctor just turns up and he can't remember.
He's been taken
out of time. Don't know. So I quite like that he just turns up at the beginning of the season with this mystery. It's quite a good opener. Well, actually, it's a bit disappointing. I'm going to be really nitpicky. You've got that great shot of all the ship and everything. And then the TARDIS lands. It's just like some stairs and he just goes through a cheap set after all of that build up, you know.
But there is sort of a mystery element to it with that, I guess. It's so simple. It's just a TARDIS and up some stairs. There's no, like, nothing big and grand. It's something so simple.
But the trial set isn't the most exciting. It's a bit beige and just literally just wood. But I suppose normal courts are, as I did on jury service. So
you're going to talk about
like
jury
that.
Service now?
No, I think I have talked about it already, but I'll do a shout out to Wendy, who I met on jury service.
Or Wens.
Yeah, I hope she's all right. I hope she's fine. I just never forget sitting down on that first day and there's Wendy there. I'm helping her fill in the form. And there's this older man reading the newspaper. And I just remember her being like, oh, I hope I don't get anything bad, like, you know, like kiddie murders or anything like that. And then since she's like, I think they should bring back like capital punishment. And the guy's reading the piece like, yes, I think they should too. And I was like, oh my God.
2 weeks, wasn't it?
It was 2 weeks. Oh, it was just, I recommend jury service.
If you ever get called up, go and do it.
Oh,
don't get
my
out
God.
Of it.
Absolutely. It's like, it's more fun than Trial of a Time Lord lets on. It's not like that at all. It's not like sitting there listening to the Valley Elder or whatever. There's twists and turns. It's much more exciting than this story, definitely. So is this a good sort of intro? I mean, we are going to get sort of, I suppose, different stories in this way, but we are stuck. If you don't like this trial stuff, then we've got a long time to go through it.
I'm hoping the trial stuff improves. I think it's just setting up and getting used to it. Also, whenever, yeah, I don't know why, I've got the Red Dwarf theme in my head for it all. I don't know why.
Well, Red Dwarf, when did Red Dwarf? Actually, I think Red Dwarf's 89. Or is it earlier than that? Maybe it's earlier.
I'm going to look it up. I meant to look it up before we started.
I think it's 88 or 89, I think. It's not. It's a few years off. But when Red Dwarf starts, you're sort of right. It's the same people. All the people that worked on Doctor Who doing all the spaceship effects and everything, it's the same people. It's the same team that work on Red Dwarf.
88.
Oh, yeah. So it's on its way.
So 86, you said this was, yeah?
Yeah, 86, yeah.
They must have been, I reckon, a year later, because it came out in 88. I reckon, like, end of 87, they were filming. Because the sets for all that, for Red Dwarf, I've seen one thing where they've talked about it, where they talk about how they did the ship in space, all that stuff, how they made it. It was really, like, a revolutionary thing at the time, the way they did it. So seeing it in Doctor Who is quite interesting. That's why I think it's so iconic to Red Dwarf.
Mm.
Seeing it in that same way.
It must have been the same kind of people that working on the same sort of things.
Yeah. It must be.
Well, I mean, it's nice. My highlights.
I would give it a 6 out of 10.
Okay, yeah, not bad. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Doctor and Perry are brilliant in this, as always.
Yeah, they're really good in this.
And, yeah, I mean, it's epic. They're trying something different as well. It's not like, you know.
It's nice to have something different. I agree with that. And it feels different. Feels very different to me.
I mean, we'll talk about it as we go in, but like behind the scenes isn't great. and my criticism will come in. Well, I'll tell you what happens later on. But, you know, they're starting this. They haven't got an end of the season by the time they're starting to do this. I don't think it's not really in place. And this is my problem I have with the script editor, who eventually leaves at the end of this season because behind the scenes is so sort of turbulent. But my argument would be for Eric Saywood, the script editor, who I have issues with, you've had 18 months. They scrapped that whole season that they had ready. And they were like, oh, no, let's do something. Doctor Who's on trial in real life. Let's do it in trial. And everyone's like, is that a good idea or not? I don't know. Oh, but we haven't got... And on all the making of, he's like, oh, but we didn't have the scripts. It was really difficult. And I'm like, you've had 18 months. You were paid 18 months to go in. They were going into the office... And he was like, I was just sitting around, like, we were waiting to hear. Like, you've had 18 months to put together a season, and now you're starting production on the season, you're scrabbling around for scripts. That is my issue here. I'm like, what have you been doing this whole time?
But also, that feels quite evident in this, because it feels really fresh and new and different, but it just, I don't know, it didn't feel very... whole. It didn't feel like a bang, we're back.
It's difficult because things aren't really ever the same after this time, because there's an interview on one of the Blu-rays for the guy who used to run the BBC at the time, who got rid of it just before, and he was like, yeah, we literally brought it back because there was such an outcry. Our plan was to bring it back for another season and then just quietly leave it again. And on the Blu-ray, he's like, well, it went on for, you know, a few more years after that. And he's like, did it? If I'd known about that, I would have stopped it. Like, they were like stealth making Doctor Who for the next however many years. It just literally just carried on because the BBC had just not bothered. But, you know, they literally only brought it back just to shut the fans up and stuff. And it just happened to carry on a little bit longer. So they are still trying to, like, get rid of it. They criticize, they go into it a lot. In the people at the BBC that were working there, they're all on the DVDs and stuff, and they're like, we didn't like the script, we thought it was terrible. They came back and they were coming back with all these notes all over the script. So you've got them, you've got the producer, you've got the script editor. It's all this massive mix of, like, nobody is agreeing on anything. So no wonder you get stuff like the trial, and then they're arguing back and forth, and what is the point, you know. I think they should have stuck with what they were planning to do and gone to Blackpool, really, but it's a bit of a shame.
Just go to Blackpool. If in doubt, everyone, just go to Blackpool. If you don't know what to do, go to Blackpool. Can't go too wrong with the North. Can't go too wrong.
We'll see what happens next week, because next week is a very interesting story as well. Actually, I'll tell you the names of the story now. So it's called Mind Warp.
Mind Warp. Okay. Yeah. Mind Warp. Mind Warp.
Yeah.
Cool. Four, in it?
Four, yeah.
Four. Okay.
And then we're halfway through the season.
God, that's nuts.
The Doskers is going to be, I think, the nominations for this Doskers. It's going to be like two people per category, because we cannot get four because there's only four stories.
Yeah.
We're going to have to think about that.
However, there'll be lots of regulars.
Oh, I suppose so, yeah. Oh, well, that's a good point. The Inquisitor and the Valiard, new regulars.
Yeah.
Sugar Daddy Valiard. Okay, well, we'll leave it there. Oh, yeah, I wasn't sure how it would go, actually. I thought you might find the humour in it a bit more. I thought Balazar,
I
don't know why.
I
just thought.
But I think that's why it reminded me of Red Dwarf, because I did laugh at some things.
I thought Balazar might be the new Herbert for some reason. I don't know why. Just thought, because he's funny.
No. Mark, it's too soon.
Too soon, okay. It's too soon to... Oh, yeah, Herbert.
Herbert's new Charlie the Barman. That's how long that's taken.
Yes. I forgot to say. That's what I was going to say at the beginning. This is going out on Easter Monday, everyone. So happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Yes. There we go. I meant to say that right at the top of the episode. So I hope you're having a good Easter. Watching Trial of a Time Lord. Maybe having a hot cross bun or a chocolate hot cross bun.
I love a chocolate hot cross bun. I've got some.
Yeah, I haven't got any yet. I'm going to try. I was going to try some and like.
So you can do it, right? I just toast it, slather it in butter, eat, right? Mm. But what you can do is put a scoop of ice cream in.
Oh. Depends how chocolatey they are.
They're chocolatey.
Okay.
But like in a. They're chocolatey. I get the M&S ones and they're chocolatey.
Okay. I will definitely have one. I keep me, because you said last year, I can't remember what story it was, because I put a picture of a chocolate hot cross bun.
I've literally got some in now.
Yeah, because it's on our whatever episode it was. I put it in the montage. I was going to go back and see. I might do a video of me trying one for the first time.
Yeah, please do.
Let us know what you think of Trial of a Time Lord, everyone. Is it a good idea for a trial or not? I think this might be 50-50. And we will see you next time for part two. In the meantime, we'll have a recess.
recess.
Order! Order! I need to get a little hammer. We could do some hammering. We'll see you next time for Mind Warp. See you then.
Bye!
Oh, I forgot to say where we are. We're on Twitter at TwoWatchWho and Instagram at TwoWatchWho, and buymeacoffee.com/TwoWatchWho.
Also, this is Mark's first day wearing dungarees.
Yes, it is. Oh, actually, also, this is totally not the end of the episode. I meant to say, did you see on Twitter the bingo card? And I'm not sure if it's the same person that Coffee messaged us, but we got tweeted the bingo card, you know, of all the different things in an episode. They did it for Avengers on Varos, and it's got things like Knocked Out by Light, Chanty Cult, Strangers Instantly Trust the Doctor, Kill Him, Class War, Unsensible Shoes. That is
Mr. Bingo by one square on this story. That's so funny.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if that's the same person that messaged us directly last time I mentioned or not. So that's public_art. Anyway, now is the end of the episode, everyone. We will see you all next week for Mind Warp. See you then. Bye.
To watch who?